WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When Ted Williams died a few weeks ago, the press was divided on how to describe him. Some stories called him a baseball hero, but more called him a baseball legend. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg has these thoughts about what that difference says about the way we think about achievement in the media age.
I was struck by the difference in the words that George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. used in their tributes to Ted Williams. The elder Bush called Williams a great hero, whereas his son called him a baseball legend. Of course, it's understandable that the two men would think of Williams differently. Williams was no doubt a personal hero to Bush Sr., himself a talented ball player and wartime Navy pilot. But you wouldn't expect Williams' name to have had the same resonance for his son, who was still a Texas schoolboy when Williams was finishing his career. But there's a generational difference between those words, too. In the tributes to Williams, legend outnumbered hero by better than 5-1. And in fact, when the press did call Williams a hero, the stories generally added something about his service as a Marine pilot, as if his baseball achievements didn't entirely justify the label. Of course, some of that reflects a post-9/11 self-consciousness about using the word hero at all. But legend was nudging hero aside well before then. If you look at the way the press described players like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig between 1980 and 2000, you find that the use of hero declined by 50%, while the use of legend doubled. That isn't to say that we've entirely left off expecting sports stars to be heroic. At least we seem to hold Barry Bonds accountable for the sorts of imperfections of character that we're perfectly willing to overlook in Sean Penn or Mick Jagger. But modern fans are much too hip and too knowing to put up with a hero-worshipping panegyric of pre-war sports writers like Grantland Rice. People are much more comfortable with a flip, self-referential banter that you hear on the talk shows on ESPN and Fox Sports Network, where the operant slogan seems to be, "We are not impressed." There's a sign of that shift in the disappearance of those heroic titles that the press used to bestow on players. I'm not thinking of straightforward nicknames like Dizzy, Babe, or Yogi. There are still plenty of those around. But the modern media don't go in much for Homeric epithets like the Sultan of SWAT, the Splendid Splinter, or the Yankee Clipper. And when they do, the titles usually have a postmodern edge to them. It's hard to imagine Grantland Rice immortalizing any of the 1927 Yankees with a label like the Big Unit. For that matter, Grantland Rice would never have described any player as a legend either, if only because back when he was writing, the word could only refer to a story from popular folklore, not the person who inspired it. That new meaning of the word originated with a phrase, a legend in his own time. But it wasn't until the 1970s that people began to use legend all by itself to refer to someone whose celebrity was especially long-lived. That shift from hero to legend is the media's backhand way of celebrating themselves. The measure of your greatness now is not so much what you did as how long people kept talking about you. There can be unsung heroes, after all, but there are no unsung legends. And in fact, the modern use of legend stands the traditional meaning of the word on its head. It's striking that we don't ever use the word to refer to somebody whose fame is rooted in a genuine oral tradition. We never talk about aeronautical legend Icarus or transport legend Casey Jones. On the contrary, the people we describe as legends now are the furthest thing from legendary in the literal sense of the word. They're people who have been the focus of media attention throughout their careers, the way Williams was. It's the media's way of investing their own creations with the power of folklore. It's true that somebody like Ted Williams would still be talked about even if there'd been no newspapers, radio, or TV around to document his accomplishments, if he'd played in the early era of the game, or if he'd been born with a wrong skin color to play Major League ball, like the literally legendary greats of the Negro Leagues. But the word legend has a leveling effect. It makes no distinction between people whose deeds are inherently memorable and celebrities who are pure media creations. Nose around in the press, and you'll run into references to television legend Ed McMahon, entertainment legend Charo, modeling legend Twiggy, and pop legend Leo Sayer. It seems unfair to use the same label for Ted Williams and Leo Sayer. After all, the one had 2,654 career hits, and the other only had about two. But that semantic deflation is inevitable when we make celebrity the measure of achievement, particularly when celebrity is a commodity that's so easy to coin. In an age when everybody's famous for 15 minutes, a legend is someone who has been in the limelight for half an hour. When the Yankees finished their new spring training facility in Tampa a couple of years ago, they christened it Legends Field. If they were renaming it now, I expect they'd call it Icon Field or Avatar Alley. In fact, they have my permission to rename it Heroes Field, just as soon as somebody on their roster hits for a 400 season.
Jeff Nunberg is a researcher at Stanford's Center for the Study of Language and Information and the author of the book, The Way We Talk Now.